So I'm Radio Annie, and I've got Margaret in the studio right now. Hey, Margaret.
Hey, Annie. How are you?
I'm here.
Thank you for being here, because without you, we couldn't do this show.
Well,
this is a team effort.
Without our listeners, too.
Yeah,
thanks for supporting KKCR, guys.
So, this is a great show for our listeners. So, we've been doing this show since the end of May about water safety, based on the Hawaii Water Safety Plan that the governor said, if you take this and take it to heart and read it, we can save lives. And that's what we've been trying to do, talking to people locally, nationally, internationally, water safety experts. But today, you're going to get a real good episode on what we need to know for water safety here in Kauai, in Hawaii, by Kalani Vieira. And I'm excited to have him here, to corral him in, to give us an interview. But before we bring him on, I need to tell the listeners something about Kalani. Today, we're joined by someone who needs little introduction in Hawaii's ocean safety world. But for those who may not know him, Kalani Vieira is the chief of the Kauai Ocean Safety Bureau and one of Hawaii's most respected and accomplished watermen. Kalani is internationally recognized for his expertise in rescue watercraft operations, and he has trained lifeguards across Hawaii and internationally in advanced ocean rescue techniques. His leadership has shaped how lifeguards respond to emergencies on Kauai's beaches. A multi-time world champion in tandem surfing, Kalani has also been honored with numerous awards, including prestigious Waterman of the Year Award, National Life-Saving Recognitions, and Community Service Honors. He also serves as president of the Hawaii Lifeguard Association, where he helps guide statewide standards, training, and public safety initiatives. He was instrumental in the development and growth of Junior Lifeguard Program, which has become one of Hawaii's most successful youth ocean safety initiatives, with multiple state championships for Kauai. Beyond his professional work, Kalani remains a devoted coach, mentor, cultural waterman who continues to inspire the next generation to respect, understand, stay safe in Hawaii's dynamic ocean environment. And I could go on and on, but we're going to bring him on because he's waiting to speak to us. In that list of professional work and what he's done for this community, he's about to tell us how to stay safe.
Kalani, are you with us?
Yes. Wow. Good morning, everybody. And
good morning.
Thank you so much for that introduction, man. I have tears in my eyes coming down. Thank you so much for that.
Well, we're going to talk a lot. We're going to let you open with some background. We're going to talk about developments on the Hawaii Water Safety Plan, lifeguards and water safety today, education and partnerships, something about shark awareness, collaborations that you're doing, and your new book, The Hawaiian Lifeguard. And we're really excited about that. And add into that that you're in episode 6 of Chief of War.
Episode 8.
Okay. Well, I got that mixed up.
That's all right.
All right. So, Kalani, for listeners who may be meeting you for the first time, you've spent decades on the front lines of Hawaii beaches. How have you seen the role of lifeguards evolve over your career? And what is it about Kauai that makes our ocean environment so unique and sometimes so dangerous?
Sure. Well, thanks again for having me. And, you know, it's an honor to be here and, you know, sharing the wisdom and knowledge with everyone, because, you know, a lot of people who live on our island, the local residents, sometimes don't understand our ocean dynamics. And you'd be surprised on how many local residents don't know how to swim. So I started my career back in 1995. I started as a summer hire. That was the position it was called at that time. And we got paid $7 an hour. So $7 an hour was our starting pay for summer months. It was a 3-month job. And we didn't have no jet skis. We didn't have no ATVs. There was no UTVs. There was no electronic equipment in our towers. We worked out of the orange plywood towers that didn't have much protection. So And a lot of times we work at ourselves at our beach, like a busy beach like Poipu or in Hanalei. I remember working some of those beaches all by myself, and it was super crowded and rough waters. So back then, you really have to be dedicated. You have to be pretty durable to, you know, come to work by yourself, especially. And, you know, throughout the years, I remember when I started, I was lifeguard 15. There was only 15 of us working, and there was only about 6 lifeguard towers at that time. And we was in charge of the pools also. So some days I would work at the beach, and when the pools were slow, I have a short staff. My supervisor used to send me to the pool to cover the pool. That's when we was under the Park and Recreation at that time. Mr. Bernard Cavaglio was our Park and Rec director at that time. And Mayor Marianne Kusaka was in charge of the county. And during that years, man, we had a lot of drownings all over the place. I remember one year we had like 26 drownings at one time, you know, at Hanakapi'a and all these dangerous beaches that we have. And I remember the mayor kind of had a big concern that, you know, we need to do something better. So that's when we transferred and moved under the fire department in 2000. And that's when a lot of our operations had really changed. That's when we got more staffing. We got more equipment. We started getting those beautiful fiberglass towers at our beaches, ATVs. We got more trucks and for response. So throughout the years, you know, our pay did get a little better throughout the years. We got more management positions, so we had better career ladders for people, because when I started, there was only a beach lifeguard and there was one supervisor managing the whole island. So throughout the last 30 years, I could see a lot of transformation, more technology, more electronics, more staffing, better training, more networking and partnerships with different organizations on the island. And that's when the Kauai Lifeguard Association got started. That's when we started our junior lifeguard program back in 96 with 12 kids at Waimea Rivermouth. And from then, each year, we just grew the program. And today we service over 600 kids a summer. I mean, we want to even try to service a little more, but just due to the staffing that we have, it's kind of hard to manage a bigger pool of kids. But we are working on that with our new internship, with our junior lifeguard kids. So I'm happy to say the changes took some time, but what we are doing today is 100% better from when I started in back in 1995.
Well, and that's
the second question.
Yes.
Okay, go ahead. Sorry.
No, I think that's really important information for people who've just moved here, maybe in the last 10 years or even the last 20 years, not to know how you operated for so long. But go ahead.
Yeah, and talking about equipment during that time, there were some towers that we didn't even have a radio. So if there was an emergency, you would either have to run to the payphone to make the call, or you would have to send someone to run to the payphone to make the call that we have an emergency at a certain beach. So I think the...
This is Annie, and I'm the engineer, and I'm not supposed to say anything at all, but oh my God, I'm like 15 lifeguards for the whole island, and you have to run to a payphone if you need help? You are kidding me.
Yeah, so lifeguarding back in in the 90s, I think we was built a little tougher.
Because you had to be super people. So how many, in contrast, how many lifeguards does Kauai have now?
We have 73.
Thank you. And I'm gonna go back to engineering behind the board and not say anything again.
Sure, no problem. So just being part of the transformation from where we started until where we are today, you know, I'm happy to see where we are today. I'm hoping that we can, you know, start evolving more with more technology and more better training, because you know, as we go along, you know, technology and electronics all changing. So I think we can start changing with the times, which is a great portion of life-saving today. Today, life-saving, you can make an honest living. The starting pay is about $26 an hour, which is not great, but, you know, the job that you perform is probably more priceless, you know, being a community, saving, being protecting your community and saving people and protecting our beaches. And then the second part of the question about what makes Kauai so unique, you know, our beauty. Everyone from all over the world comes to our beaches here, especially on Kauai, for that hidden beauty that we call the hidden gem. We have the best, most beautiful scenery, backgrounds. We get the best beaches. And, you know, at times can be very dangerous, as we all know. Our ocean, you know, is changing, you know, in minutes or by hours, you know, from really calm to very dangerous. And that's what's unique about our island, is just the beauty of our island, beautiful clean water, warm water, white sandy beaches, and just the hidden beauty that attracts millions of people to our island or even to our state, because each island has their own little hidden gems here and there, and our beaches, you know, it's all pretty similar in a way. And, you know, our seasons change from summer to winter. And, you know, obviously, we all know if you live on the North Shore, our beaches get up to 40 to 80 feet of giant surf. You know, it's especially right now in the winter season, and that attracts more people, that attracts more surfers. And we're still warm here during our winter time, so people are just about to get snowed out or wherever they come from, and you want to run away and get into the nice warm weather that we have here in Hawaii.
Well, that's really a good background information you just gave us, and we can move into the Hawaii Water Safety Plan, which was developed after the United States Water Safety Plan 2 years ago. And yeah. In that, we realized that the data came out, as you know, that drowning, we have the second highest drowning rate in the country, and our youth, 1 to 15, have the highest drowning rate. And because of that, there's been some developments that have happened since that document came out. We've been running the show. Caitlin Thompson's been doing a lot of work in Civil Beat, and now just recently, Kalani, Beat of Hawaii came out about an article on Maui, which you're quoted as saying, this is a public health crisis that's been ignored too long. We are marketing these beaches aggressively while underfunding the systems that keep people alive. Can you speak to that article and what you meant by that?
Sure. So getting back to the water safety plan.
Yep.
You know, obviously we all understand water safety is a big concern here in Hawaii. And when we noticed that California came out with a water safety plan, and we were thinking to ourselves, man, we should have been the first people to come up with this plan because of our, you know, our issues and concerns in Hawaii. So we met with some of the people who published the California water safety plan, and we got some ideas. Then in the last few years, we collaborated with different organizations across our state, whether you're ocean operation or freshwater or pool operation, and we just came up with all the biggest concerns that we have here in Hawaii and what are the solutions that we can try to accomplish with all these issues and concerns. Then we put it all on paper. We met numerous times, prioritized it, and put it in this published manual, which we can help, you know, hopefully change some laws or create some better funding or some other better programs to our education system and help our legislators come up with these solutions that some of the experts came up with. And I think we can do a lot more because, as you can see, in Hawaii, it's part of our culture is the ocean. our heritage is part of the ocean. Everybody goes to the beach for some reason, even just for picnicking. Some people don't go in the water too much, but everybody hangs out at the beach pretty much. And I cannot understand why this is not at the top of our priority. You know, I try to lobby as hard as I can wherever I go to make this a big concern that we all can do. I mean, I work as a professional lifeguard, but we can only do so much. I think everybody, whether you're a resident, a business owner, or whatever, has a little bit of culiano responsibility in some level that we can all get together and have pretty much the same messages to serve our community and serve our visitors. Obviously, we know visitors is the number one economic benefit to our state, and I think we can do a lot more to protect them. Our keiki, that's really sad that the number one cause of death for our keikis is drowning.
Right.
You know, that's kind of how it's going to come into my book later on as we talk about it. And we're ranked number two in the nation for drowning. Number one is Alaska, you know?
Right.
We have the most experienced water people in the world live here in Hawaii, and we have that poor black eye statistic. So I think we need to work a little bit more together. Some people might think it is not my responsibility, but in some way it is. So I think we need to work together more, but I think the water safety plan is going to help a lot of people understand some of the concerns and some of the solutions that we can try to make a difference.
That's just well said. I mean, Dwayne DeSoto, when I met him 2 years ago at Nakama Kai, said, it hit me, he said, we're all in this together, whether we fish, swim, dive, paddle,
sure,
or surf. We all have a responsibility to help each other. And I
sure
think that's absolutely correct what you just said, Kalani. And I think it's a great working document written. The lead writer was Allison Schaefers, who's also a journalist. And one of my guests, Justin Semstrat, who worked on the USLA, the USA Water Safety Plan, made a point of bringing up and saying how well done this was and that
yeah
people should at least take a chance to read it. And it comes across, you know, it's Hawaii. And so it's important. I think everyone should take a look at it. They don't have to read every little bit of the recommendations,
sure,
but it's very well done. And
sure
so we have to keep amplifying the message that drowning is preventable. And when I met you 2 years ago, the first article I saw was you on the cover, written by you and Sarah Fairchild and Bob Titian, talking about how Hawaii should be the leader in water safety. And I still
I
believe
agree
that today. There's no reason
yeah, you
why
know,
we shouldn't.
We're the smallest state in our, you know, in our United States, but I think we can do a lot more here. You know, we are surrounded by the Pacific Ocean, that we can have dynamic ocean conditions. But the people that we attract, you know, sometimes people don't understand the hidden dangers or the hidden monsters that we have in our our ocean. So at least have maybe better education, you know, and we'll talk about this a little bit more
yes
about getting, you know, messages on the airlines. I think we've been trying to break that nut in the last 30 years that I've been involved, and I'm still trying to find that way in that we can try to get proper messaging on the airlines with basic water safety information so people are somewhat educated as soon as they step off the plane.
Well, let's get into what's been going on
sure
since with the developments. And Annie said maybe we could play the segment I sent you. Even though it's not the visual, I thought it really struck me that it really resonated with what the Hawaii Water Safety Plan said, what Dwayne DeSoto said, what Kaina Makua said about somehow there's got to be a message that ties into our culture. So,
sure.
But let's start by saying these are the really good things that have happened. You have the
yeah
Junior Lifeguard Internship Program, Swim for Free, Free Dive Safe, the Duke License Plate, and the Nakama Kai Pilot Program. And also Nahamahana Charter School, which actually ran a water safety program.
Yeah.
A new Rescue 2 program.
Yep.
Pulse Point respond. And I think I'm correct by saying Olokai is going to support water safety and drowning prevention. They're going to have a new store in Hanalei. So there, you can pick and choose whatever you want to talk about. But those are the things I've identified that have developed since the water safety plan.
Yeah, so I'll touch on a couple of them.
Okay.
One, obviously, is the junior lifeguard internship program because it's close to my heart.
Right.
And it's part of the poor statistic that we have, kids 1 to 15, and that's prime age category for our junior lifeguards, 8 to 17. So we've been running our junior lifeguard program, as you all know, the past 20-plus years, and each island has their own program, and they're building similar like we are here on Kauai, and I'm on. And I can say this proudly, that Kauai was the first island to start the Keiki division, 8 to 11 years old. And, you know, we've been doing pretty well with the juniors, which is ages 12 to 17. But I think the more important age is that 8 to 11 category. So now the outer islands are jumping on and doing the same similar thing and starting the program at 8 to 11. So the internship we started here this past March was our first initial program with interns that came to our junior lifeguard program. Some of the instructors handpicked a few kids that we saw had leadership skills and good positive energy, great attitudes. You know, they might not be the fastest runner or swimmer, but I can see, we could see there's good potential in these individuals, that we invited them to our Ocean Safety Bureau, and we did a full week long of pretty hard training similar to what the real lifeguards go through. We paid them to come to the internship, and then when they graduated from the internship, they came and they helped us as co-instructors or lead instructors during our summer junior lifeguard program. They teach the skill. They demonstrated the skill, and we met with the mayor a few months ago, and we wanted to start doing a apprenticeship program in our county system that we can start hiring kids that went to our junior lifeguard program, went to the internship program, and then now they can qualify to apply for a position at 16 years old and work side by side with our full-time guards and get paid at a lower cost, obviously. And when they turn 18, they're eligible to apply for a full-time position. So that's really something really good that I'm working on, and I really want to see this follow through. So when I am retiring here in the next couple of years, I want to see this in the county system budgeted so we can hire kids at 16 years old, because these kids are really great kids.
Right.
You can see the drive and the passion in them, and you can literally mold them to become really good guards or whatever they want to be. You know, this positive adults in whatever path they choose when they grow up.
And they can also educate their friends about what
totally.
They're learning. And that's
so it's lifelong
right.
Information that they would have that they can start sharing the knowledge to others,
right.
wherever they go. And then the second thing I wanted to touch on is the Duke's license plate. The Duke's license plate is almost ready available. I think it's December 1st, if I'm not mistaken. The Duke's license plate will be available at your local DMV, so you can buy your license plate with, you know, with the Duke's picture on there. And it's $40, and $25 of that $40 will go to the Duke's Foundation, and the Duke's Foundation will fund different water safety programs or drowning prevention programs, you know, like Nakamakai, for example, of whoever's doing programs, they will have funds available through their license plate purchase to help with a lot of the programs that we that we need more in Hawaii.
That was a great program that Sarah Fairchild talked about originally. And what I found out from them is it will be available the beginning of January. And the way can stay in touch is dukefoundation.org, and you can sign up to be notified when it will be available. So I'm looking forward to that. That should be great.
Yeah, me too, because my license plate is about falling. Can really read the numbers, and I'm waiting. As soon as they come out, I'm definitely getting one, because it's a beautiful,
yes,
memorable license plate, you know, especially, you know.
It's a picture of the Duke, and it's kind of got traditional
recognizing
and
who
modern.
Duke was and supporting what Duke's legacy is.
Is there another program you wanted to talk about before we move on?
Well, and this, I'm going to touch a little on the Namahana Charter School that we started working with.
Okay.
And I think we had numerous meetings with their administration, and I was very happy and surprised that they wanted to do a water safety program in their school. And we met numerous times. We had a lesson plan, and we literally got the kids in the water.
Right.
You know, we did a couple of programs. I remember you was walking the beach and you stopped by and said hi. And I was really impressed with the staff that, you know, they really want to push for more water safety in their schools. And I was telling the lady in charge that
Kapua.
This is a great role model that, you know, other schools can see what you're doing here. We even had a swim test. We had a buoy we set, you know, maybe 50 yards out, and the kids literally had to swim whatever skill they had around the buoy and in, and we did a little test to see what level they was at. Obviously, some kids was really afraid, so we really had to swim right next to them or put a life jacket on them. But after they was done, they felt way more comfortable doing that than originally. And we teach the kids how to use a rescue tube, because we have rescue tubes all over the place, and how to use a rescue board or boogie board in a rescue. So I think we're making really good headway in that way of getting more water safety programs in the schools.
Yes.
Like Dwayne DeSoto, he's doing learn swimming lessons in the schools on the west side of Oahu. So I think we're making good headway, and hopefully other organizations or schools can see that, hey, this is maybe something that they want to follow also.
Well, it should be a state priority, and we should have water safety in the schools. I think that's really important. But we're going to take a break.
Just even if you don't...
Yeah, go ahead.
You don't have to put the kids in the water, but having some type of water safety education in all the schools... You can show videos, you can do a presentation, you can do dry land demonstrations, because I know some schools might have that fear of liability when you're putting kids in the water, which I understand, but there should be some level of basic water safety in all schools.
Yes, I agree.
So I want to let our listeners know that it is 10:30 on the Garden Island, and you're listening to Kauai Community Radio. This is Deep Dive into Water Safety, and we're having a conversation with Kalani Vieira, who is the head of the Ocean Safety Bureau. Did I say that right?
He's chief.
Sure. Yep.
Yes. Chief.
Right on.
Yes. He's the guy. So let me play a few messages here, and we'll get back to our conversation. And now we're going to get back to our conversation with Kalani Vieira, the chief of the Ocean Safety Bureau.
Kalani, I see that we've got a large list of questions here, but I'm going to take one for the lifeguards and water safety today.
Okay. Sure.
Residents underestimate conditions, too. What would you say are the top two, three things locals need to remember every time they go to the beach?
Well, you know, me being born and raised here in Hawaii, sometimes the locals feel that they're invincible. And, you know, we really got to remind ourselves that we're part of, you know, something that we got to know our limits. You know, be comfortable with your limits. Not because I'm a local and born here that I can go out in 20-foot surf. Obviously, knowing your limits, knowing the conditions. A lot of guys don't really, or a lot of people don't really... pay attention to the weather and the reports. So knowing your limits, knowing the conditions, and when in doubt, don't go out. I think that's the simplest I can put it.
Right. A second question I have here, and then I want to go on to collaboration, and then I want to talk about your book, which is really exciting. Lifeguards are often the first responders to ocean emergency. What is one thing you wish the public understood better about what lifeguards actually do?
Good question. So, you know, when I started back in the mid-90s, you know, we didn't have much respect as lifeguards because we just was considered the beach boys, you know, of all the equipment that we had and, you know, uniforms we had and, you know, we didn't have much. But today, it's a way more professional job. We have a career ladder involved now with lieutenants, captains, and chiefs, and rescue craft operators. So, you know, people need to understand that the lifeguards, I think we should make up a new name for lifeguards. We should be called the initial responders because we're there well before any first responder is, like fire or police or medic. We're there before even the incidents happen. We most of the times make the initial call of what's going on. Our jobs have grown and responsibilities have grown tremendously in the last 20 plus years. Not only dealing with what's going on in the water, but there's a lot of things that goes on the beach. There's a lot of things that going on behind of the tower, like the path and the roads. We deal with so much different things nowadays that it's beyond just water activities. We deal with car accidents. We deal with bike accidents on the bike path. We deal with assaults, knife stabbings. We dealt with gunshot wounds, fires, injured hikers. I mean, we pretty much do it all, you know, marine life at the beach. And we're the only people that has some kind of authority at the beach. So a lot of people go to the beach and they come running to the lifeguards thinking that we can solve everything. But just the amount of responsibility that the lifeguards have. You know, if you're having a problem at home, you're going to have to detach your problem because when you show up to work, you have to be on your toes. I remember going to work by myself. I didn't do any physical activities because it was busy. I didn't have the time. But when I went home, I was so exhausted mentally because of just being alert for the 8 or 10 hour shifts. So hopefully people can understand that our guards are out there. You know, you might have a different perception of what they do, but you have to be on your toes. You have to be in constant shape. You have to be ready to respond. If you're having doubts in your mind, you know, you have to clear your mind and be dedicated to your job because your people is relying on you to come to work. Your team, your coworkers are relying you to come to work. So you got to really put your ego on the side and come to work with a positive attitude, with patience, so you can, when you go home after you work, at least you can go home and tell yourself, in my heart, I did the best I can today, and I'm going home safe to my family.
That's well said. And Dwayne DeSoto actually talked about the community that's going in the ocean. Respect the ocean and also understand, if you go out in risky situations, that there is someone that's going to have to risk their life to come after you. And so
Exactly. You
need to think about that. So thank you for that piece of information about the lifeguards. You said in an interview I just heard recently that you thought lifeguards should be considered first responders. And
yeah, we got to figure out a proper
right
term. You know, initial responders, we got to think of a better term.
Before we go on to this, I think our listeners should know that lifeguards are not considered first responders. And that's a piece of legislation that probably should be changed.
We are working on that as we speak.
Yeah.
Just a quick comment on that. I just went to the USLA conference about a month and a half ago in Idaho, and the USLA is working on a resolution. So we're going to be meeting with some of our legislation representatives to help co-sponsor this resolution to have our state or federal recognize lifeguards as first responders, because that's ridiculous that the lifeguards are not considered or recognized as first responders.
That's good news. Okay, now on to collaboration, which you've done some great work internationally, and I've talked to people internationally that want to collaborate. So I want to briefly tell the listeners about your work with Osaka Lifeguards, and then I want you to tell me anything you think's going to happen with Bruce Hopkins from Bondi, David Samuels, the AID Blue technology, and the water rescue dog Reef. You could talk about any of those, but go ahead and tell me about the Osaka training
program.
Yeah,
so it's actually, I can't say the word.
It's not Osaka.
It's Okinawa.
Okinawa, sorry.
Yeah, Okinawa. So Okinawa is part of Japan. It's connected with part of the country of Japan. If you don't know or been there before, it's a huge island, real similar to here, like Kauai. And they deal with a lot of drownings also, because they're also a visitor attraction islands, and there's a bunch of islands connected to the Okinawa system. And a friend of mine, his name is Taishi, he comes to Hawaii for the last 20 plus years, and he's trying to create lifeguard services in Okinawa. So he invited me to Okinawa last summer to help talk about what we do here in Hawaii, and also try to convince his government that, you know, lifeguarding is probably the way to go if you want to reduce a lot of the drownings that they're having. So we went there, talked to him, and then we also, that's when we came up with the idea about doing a lifeguard exchange, because he's starting to hire new lifeguards. So last February, there was about a 10 of Okinawa lifesavers come to Kauai. We did a week-long training with them, and we really had a really good time. They learned a lot. We learned some from them, and we're doing our second annual Okinawa Lifeguard Exchange in next February. And they're going to bring a whole two groups of new lifeguards that they're hiring. One group will be spending a week time on Oahu, and the second group will be coming back to Kauai and spending some time training with us here. So I'm looking forward to that again, and we'll see if this can grow into other countries. Since we've been kind of exposing what we did, I've been having a lot of interest from other lifeguard agencies trying to ask the same question, if we can partnership and create more lifeguard exchange training. And, you know, we're still looking at that and trying to see if we can grow this exchange program.
That makes total sense, collaboration, because drowning is a problem, not just here, but it's a global issue. And so the more we can collaborate, and I think Okinawa is a great start. And in my interviewing, I've come across people in the UK, in Australia, that have suggested the same thing. I think the most interesting one is Bruce Hopkins, who we've talked about in his demonstration of rip currents, because he says in Australia, people don't understand. You can put up all the signs you want, but they don't understand. And when you tell them to stay calm, that's not an action word. Floating is. And the one thing that you got involved with Mike Tipton, who I brought in, who runs the Physiological Institute, you got the guards to be part of their campaign in UK this year called Find Your Float. And I found that a lot of people at the Hanalei Canoe Club that I know and other people actually can swim but don't really know how to float. So that was really kind of an interesting concept. So to get to this, What do you think about the collaboration with Bruce Hopkins? You and I have been in touch with him. Does that look like something you want to pursue?
Yeah, so, you know, any kind of collaboration is great, you know, whether it help us out or help them out. I think we just got to find the right timing to see how we can arrange this, because we have quite a few rip currents that I can really use here on the island, like the Cape at Hanalei or Grandpa's Pine Trees, as you know, or Wanini Back Channel. There's that natural rip that's always creating a problem. Kalia Beach, you know, so we can come up with a few areas that we definitely could have some kind of documentation and have educational videos that we could have to post on YouTube or whatever, our social media pages, because that's another avenue that we can try to get the message out to people that not close to the water that don't understand. But collaboration, I'm all for collaboration. It's just finding the time and the funding to make this happen.
Right. I think he'd be a good resource since he's part of Bondi Rescue and has an international kind of reputation. It might bring more awareness. But
So we can continue the discussion and try to come up with a plan on how we can make this happen.
Okay. Let's talk about your book. This is exciting. You're an author. Besides being an actor and a waterman, you're now a published author. And the book is called The Hawaiian Lifeguard. And I want you to tell us all about it and how people can get it. Okay? So.
Yeah. So, again, it starts from the poor stat that we have that, you know, number one cause of drowning for keikis is, you know, the number one cause of death for keikis is drowning. And my grandson, this is about a year ago, he was 2 years old at that time, and every time I go over to his house, as soon as you walk in the door, he grabs you by my hand, and he brings you either to the bookshelf or to his toy collection. So when he brought me to the bookshelf, because he wants somebody to read to him or look at the pictures, that's when a light bulb came up. And I was thinking, man, if my two-year-old grandson is like this, I'm sure there's thousands of other two-year-old kids in the same way that looking for information or looking for somebody to read to them. And what better way to do it is have your parent read to your kids about what lifeguards do, who they are, and about water safety education. So I came back to my office. I talked about the idea to the Hawaiian Lifeguard Association for a little bit of funding. Talked to a friend of mine that he was a arts and graphics designer, and we went on our way. I came up with a little script, and it's kind of dealing with some of my experiences, some of my family members, and this is a first book of four that I'm going to write as soon as the holiday season is over and I start promoting this one. I'm going to start writing my second one. It's going to be a series of four booklets. This first book is kind of pertaining to public perception, like I talked about.
Right.
And, you know, then it shows what lifeguards do and some kind of education on how to get a rip current and obeying signs and what lifeguards are somewhat superheroes. And the character I designed maybe about four different ways. The first character was too skinny. The second character was too big, you know, and then finally we kind of made him somewhat, you know, kids, they remember if they look at something like Moana and in Maui, for example, kids remember, you know, the feature of Maui. And this is what I wanted to do, have a symbol on the cover that kids would look at and go, wow, you know, something that they're going to pop and remember. And then give them interest, because there's a lot of pictures in the booklet. There's marine animals talking, like the dolphin and the honu, the turtle. And then my daughter, Keala, she's young and, you know, she's learning, and Kalani the lifeguard is going to train Keala. And then the fourth book is going to be Keala's all grown up now. She becomes a lifeguard, and Kalani somewhat retires and moves out. So that's kind of the whole series from 1 to 4.
I think it's great. I'm holding it right here. I have my copy with a superhero on the front, the Hawaiian lifeguard. And then, as you told me, the Honu and the dolphin were named after your grandchildren. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct. So there's Kahiao and Nanea is my grandchildren, and Keala is my daughter. So there is some family values to the booklet. It's also talking about lifeguards, what they do. They're superheroes. And also there's a lot of ocean safety education that the whole family can learn about.
Well, I think it's great. And it's available now, and where can they purchase
this?
Yes,
it's available now at Amazon. So you just got to go to Amazon and search the Hawaiian Lifeguard book. And it's also available at our website, the Hawaiian Lifeguard Association.org website. It's really reasonable price. It's under $15. Great for gifts coming up for Christmas or birthdays, or even if you're preschool or you're school organizations wants to get one for storytelling. I think it's a great tool that you can read to the kids.
Okay.
Yeah, I would never think before when I started working of writing a children's book.
Well, you've probably thought you've been in other movies too. I just know the current one is Chief of War, Episode 8. I got to get that right for everybody to know. So let's go on to some other things. We talked, you and I, about messaging. The mayor came on and talked about messaging, and we got to get the messaging right. You talked about the airlines, and we also played for you and for Annie Butch Kealana's piece that's hidden in the website at Hawaiian Airlines. And it actually talks about the culture and water safety. And I was thinking maybe we should play it and then just talk a couple of minutes about it. Is that possible, do you think?
Sure. We got time for that?
I hope so.
It's 5.5 minutes.
Maybe we don't.
So you'll have 1 minute to say anything. I think that I will tell everyone on the air, it's Ola Ponu, Vai Vai with Brian Keaulana.
Right.
Yeah, with the Hawaiian Airlines. I will put a link to it from KKCR's website. When you go to the archives for this show, it's at archives, deep dive into water safety. You can hear this whole show, and I'll have a link to this. But why is this particular message so impactful?
Yeah, so Brian is a mentor of mine. I really admire, and, you know, he just did wonders for water safety. Even to this day, he comes from a famous waterman family from Makaha, and he's real instrumental on creating the first rescue craft techniques back in the 90s. So he created the initial rescue techniques with the rescue jet ski, and he's been involved with all kinds of different movies, and he has really good information on in that little video, talking about a little bit of cultural stuff, about the hidden monsters and the hidden dangers, what to prepare yourself when you go to a different beach that, you know, you're visiting a different beach. So being respectful and all of that, I think it's a great overall package that it really kind of educates you about all the different angles of our beaches in Hawaii. You know, he talked about Makaha a lot, but you can use that same philosophy on any beach that you go to Hawaii. So I think it's a really good educational piece that will be a prime video for the airlines.
I agree.
It'll be a prime video that we should be posting. In fact, I sent that, after you sent it to me, I sent them to our social media people. We're going to post it on our social media pages and get this information and message out there.
Right. We don't need to reinvent the wheel. It was well done over seven years ago, and we need to get it out now, I think, and try to push it with the airlines. So, yes, I agree with you, Kalani. It's been really great talking to you, and I could go on for hours because you have so much information, and it's hard to corral you because you're always busy and doing something. But let's just end this with a couple of, like, quick questions, okay?
Sure.
Okay. What is the single most important thing people should do before getting in the ocean on Kauai?
Go to a lifeguarded beach. If there's no lifeguards there, take at least 20 minutes of your time to observe the conditions before entering the water. Look for any warning signs posted in the area. Talk to those local surfers or the fishermen and get some accurate information before getting in the water. Protect yourself. Be smart. Be safe. And, you know, when in doubt, don't go out.
What ocean condition catches people by surprise the most?
I would say flash rips. For example, flash rips, we talked about Hanalei Bay at the Cape. You know, when the variety of waves come in, obviously the currents are going to be much stronger with the bigger waves. Bigger the waves, the stronger the current. Flash rips comes when a set of waves come, and it'll disappear and it'll come back again. So that's what kind of gets a lot of people. They might be swimming and all of a sudden here's a flash rip come and they're getting sucked out. So this knowing your environment, talk to the lifeguards. Ask them if that's a safe place to go swimming. Just getting accurate information before you're planning your beach day.
What inspired you to write your new book in one sentence?
Education. Education.
If you could give one message to families and Keiki about ocean safety, what would it be, Kalani?
You know, again, education, getting the proper information, looking over, watching each other, especially use the buddy system. A lot of families bring their kids to the beach and they don't pay attention to the kids, thinking that the lifeguards have them. Primary responsibility of your kids is with the parents, even if there is a lifeguard there. So just watching yourself, protecting yourself, and again, always, when in doubt, don't go out.
Thank you, Kalani. It's been a privilege to have you on, and
anytime.
We appreciate you doing it. I hope you'll come back again.
Sure.
As things develop and we collaborate, and we are going to have three lifeguards, girl lifeguards, come on. Is that something?
We're trying. As you see in the emails, we're trying to get them. I'm trying.
Okay. We're looking forward to that.
All right.
Okay.
All right. Thanks, you guys.
Aloha,
Kauai.
Okay.
Aloha. This has been a great episode of Deep Dive into Water Safety. Thank you, Margaret, for being the hostess with all of it. And
thank you, Annie, for all you do.
Heck yes. You can find this episode at kkcr.org, along with all of the other interviews that Margaret has been doing with folks around the world. And this is coming to a podcast center near you.